I know that a number of you need to get to work, and so we'll keep things brief this morning. But in the first reading today, as we hear about God's temple being opened, the Ark of the Covenant being seen in the temple, and then the description of that Ark being the woman, we go on, and at the end of the reading, we hear the words, "Now have salvation and power come, the kingdom of God and the authority of his anointed one." And so it is in that context, obviously, there are some passages that have been removed and that had to deal with St. Michael kicking out the devil and so on. But the reality is that we can look at today's feast and say, now have salvation and power come. That God has demonstrated most profoundly his power in bringing about our salvation. Now, we can look at this in a couple of different ways. Obviously, we look back 2,000 years ago, and salvation came through the death and resurrection of our blessed Lord. And yet, we can look at it a further way and see that the fulfillment of that salvation happens only when we get to heaven. We know that our Lord has done everything to save us, but the question is still whether or not we're going to be saved. We have to cooperate with that. We have some choices to make. And so ultimately, it's only when we get to heaven that we can say, now salvation and power have come, because we've made it. Now, as we look at the feast today, we recognize that as we hear in the first reading about the woman about to give birth and so on, our Lord came into this world 2,000 years ago for everyone. And yet, in a particular way, we'd have to say he came for our Blessed Lady. He certainly gave himself to our Blessed Mother in a way that is more profound than he gives himself to the rest of us. And so, too, in opening heaven so that we could enter in, there is a particular point where we'd have to say his mother has preeminence over everyone else. The work of salvation is indeed for everyone, but first and foremost, I would submit it is for our Blessed Lady, because she is the one who cooperated perfectly with his grace. She is the one who was willing to say yes. So when we listen to even the words of Elizabeth in the gospel, blessed is she who believed that the Lord's words to her would be fulfilled. She believed at the moment of the Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel had announced to her that she would bear a son, but be a virgin. She believed. She's the only one, remember, who believed in the resurrection. The apostles didn't believe that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. Nobody else did. One single person on the entire face of the earth after our Lord's death believed in the resurrection. And above all, Mary believed not only in the resurrection of her son, but in the resurrection of herself and the rest of us too. She's the only one. And if she was the only one who believed that, then preeminently these things can be said of her. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord's words to her would be fulfilled. All along, we see that in Our Lady's life. And now, as she has brought body and soul into heaven, once again, what was promised to her by our Lord has been fulfilled. Now we can apply all of these things to our own selves, because, as I said, yes, Jesus came for all of us. In a special way, we can point out that it's for his mom, but it's for everyone. So now we have to ask ourselves, do I believe in what God has promised? Do I have absolute faith in what God has promised? When we look at the Jewish people, they knew that the Messiah was going to come. When he did come, they didn't believe. But Our Lady did. And so now we look forward. We know that the resurrection is a promise, that eternal life has been promised. Do we believe? Do we believe in God's word that has been spoken to us? Our Lady did, and she has received the full reward of that faith. She has been brought body and soul into heaven, the first fruits, as St. Paul said in the second reading. So Jesus is the first to rise from the dead. But our Blessed Lady shares already in the resurrection and in the glorification. So her body has the resurrected glory, and she has been brought to the fullness of heaven. Our bodies are going to die one day. They're also going to rise from the dead. And if we have died in that faith, living that faith so that we are in the state of grace and truly striving to love and serve the Lord, then one day old brother Donkey here is going to rise from the dead too and is going to be brought into the glory of heaven. That is the promise made to each and every one of us. It has already been fulfilled in our Blessed Lady because her faith, thanks be to God, was perfect. Her charity, her love for God and neighbor was perfect, relatively speaking. Ours is not. But that's what we're striving for, is to deepen that faith, to perfect that faith, to get it to that point that it is without doubt. So that the words that were spoken to our Blessed Lady can be said of us too. Blessed are you who believed that what God has spoken to you would be fulfilled. So yes, we look at the cross. We can look at the battle in heaven with Saint Michael and Satan, and we can say with all the angels and saints that yes, now have salvation and power come. But we look at the fulfillment of it as well. We look at our Blessed Lady, the Ark of the Covenant in heaven, and when we ourselves can get there, then it will be on our lips and coming from our hearts, where we can praise God with our whole heart and soul and strength, say, now salvation and power have come, the reign of our God, the authority of his anointed one, because we will have crushed the head of Satan. We will have achieved that salvation which has been promised, that salvation in which we believe because God himself has said it.